Thanks for downloading this podcast from Radio Today. My name is Stuart Clarkson, back for a special one-off edition as we celebrate a big milestone in our industry. Somebody who has clocked up 20 years at the biggest commercial radio brand in the UK. It's Toby Anstis from Heart.
Radio Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Welcome to the podcast, Toby.
Thank you, Stuart. Thanks for having me on. 20 years. How have I got away with that?
Still getting away with it after all this time. we'll have a bit of a look back, a nostalgic trip through your two decades at Heart and some of the people you work with and things you've been doing on the air. But I wanted to take you back even further than that first, because it's probably nearly 30 years since I got home from school one day and saw Andy Peters introducing you as his replacement the broom cupboard.
Yeah.
How on earth did you get on there in the first place?
Oh, well, I mean, that's a long old story. I mean, what you got to remember, though, is that, you know, back then I was only just turned something like 22 years old. I mean, only a year before, I'd graduated from uni in psychology. And there I was, you know, about to take over, well, one of the biggest TV gigs at the time. You're on BBC One every afternoon in front of millions and millions of people. And I had loads of experience. I'd just done a psychology degree. And there I was talking to Andy in a puppet duck. And it was the weirdest thing. You can imagine that is quite surreal. And because it had happened so fast, and Paul Smith, this amazing guy at the BBC, had brought me through the kind of system so quickly, you know, interview with an exec, audition, which went really, really badly, by the way. I was absolutely rubbish. So how on earth I got the job, I don't know. And then there I was. And it really was. It happened so, so quickly. And because it was the profile you got doing that, you know, every afternoon there were 15 million people watching The Last Link before you introduce Neighbours. So, and doing that every single day, that does mount up. And so 2 days of doing that, and you walk out into the street and a lot of people are coming up and recognising you. So it was completely surreal. I was sort of petrified and super excited all at the same time. And yeah, I'm bearing in mind that, you know, TV wasn't what I ever planned I'd ever do. All I wanted to do from the age of about 7 or 8 is be on the radio playing music. And television is something that I'd never entertained. But, you know, 10 or 12 years of TV later, I then finally got a crack at what I'd always wanted to do, was be on the radio. And and here we are 20 years on.
And like a lot of people working in the industry, you mentioned, you know, being in your bedroom, wanting to be on the radio. Did you do the thing of, you know, taping yourself and talking between the records and all that kind of stuff? Bedroom FM?
We all did that. Actually, I used to get like a little, one of my mum and dad's bedside lamps, and I used to put a red bulb in it. And put it in a cardboard box and cut a hole in the box. And then I kind of felt tipped on air on the cardboard box and put that outside my room. And when that red light was on, nobody could come in. I had one of those little, you know, the little microphones plugged into an old Sanyo tape recorder thing and was trying to sort of do links between the records. Yeah, really, really badly. But we all started like that. Everybody in radio has, you know, got that fascination with not just how it works, you know, conceptually, but just the joy that, you know, playing music brings to people. And that's what really sort of turned me onto the whole idea of radio, you know, back then when I was young. And I still got the same love of it as the first time I ever did it and went on.
So back when you were doing that, did you not think, oh, well, I could leave school and go and do this then? Was that not a career option that you'd even thought of? It was just something you wanted to do?
Well, it was never a career option, because when you went to a careers office, you know, at school in the day, you know, they just laugh at you if they said, so what do you want to do after your A-levels? And, you know, you'd say, well, I want to be on the radio. And they just laugh and say, fancy being a teacher instead or an accountant. We could definitely get you involved in that. And it was like, I wasn't interested in that at all. You know, I knew that I wanted to be on the radio, but I never really knew how it was going to happen. But I felt that, you know, that's what I really, really wanted to do. And then that kind of led to doing hospital radio, and which I loved. I mean, I actually just loved going around the wards and saying hi to people and, you know, perking them up and, you know, taking the requests back to the DJ and then seeing him play it. I mean, even though quietly I was always hankering after being that person in the chair playing out the records and the tunes. But that, yeah, those early days doing hospital radio, and that gives you a really good idea of the whole idea of one-on-one radio, which is what it is, you know, that you're talking to one person and just a lot of those people. But it was, you know, when you got a request from a patient, and then you took it back and you knew that the instant you played that tune, it was going to put a smile on their face, you know, and make their day. And that's just one person. And I think just to sing, you know, the joy of doing that was really exciting, really sort of motivating, really inspired me.
And I suppose it gave you the technical skills, because then working in the broom cupboard, it was essentially a little radio studio, wasn't it? A little self-obsessed.
You know what? Well, I'm still learning, Stu. I'm still learning. Every day's a school day. Every day you're learning something new. And yeah, I mean, yes, it was. I mean, the broom cupboard was a continuity studio. It's where the announcers would go. And so you'd have this guy in there going, you know, next on BBC One, Toby Anstey will be here, blah, 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 blah. And then they'd scarper off. We'd go in, quickly switch the neon lights on behind me and put the camera on. And, you know, a minute later, after the two trailers back to back, you'd suddenly be in everybody's living rooms on BBC One. And then you had to operate the whole thing yourself. Which, you know, when you're, I was like just 21 years old. And every morning, oh, sorry, every afternoon, you know, BBC One would hand me control of the network, essentially. So once we were put on the air, I could do anything I liked. And my God, did I exploit that at times. I got myself into a lot of trouble on a couple of occasions. But anyway, to cut your teeth, essentially, you know, on BBC One was amazing. What an opportunity. I feel so blessed to have done that.
Not a bad gig. And so skip through the 90s, all that telly stuff that you did, the Ozone and all the Saturday morning stuff. Everybody knows about all that. So turn of the century, chance to do some radio. And actually, people who heard our podcast a couple of years ago will know that before Heart, you actually did Liberty, the AM station in London.
Yeah, well, I cut my teeth on that, actually, remarkably badly, I think. It was when Zoe Ball was there and Emma Forbes and various people, Richard Arnold was on Good Morning Britain. So there were a few of us that took that opportunity to go and do live radio. And then somebody said, you know, you might be, maybe Heart's a station for you. And so I was listening to it and stuff. I thought, well, yeah, maybe. And it was doing quite well. And then they basically gave me a chance. I mean, to be fair, Jim Hicks at the time, he was the sort of group program controller of Heart and Galaxy back then. And he wasn't really sure, to be honest, about, you know, who's this Toby Anstey guy? Yeah, I've seen him on TV, but what does he know about radio? You know, but, you know, and he wasn't really sure. We had to really pester him. My agent really got in there and got involved. And they finally let me go on to do overnights for 4 weeks, which was amazing. You know, anybody that ever turns their nose up overnights, hang on, take a break. Just get on and do it. It was absolutely, you know, whenever you're on the radio, it's fun. Doesn't matter what time of day, you're always going to have an audience. Doing different things. And I absolutely loved it. Although I learned quite quickly when you're on a London radio station, don't even think about even jokingly criticising London cab drivers. Never do that. I think I was on there my first ever show. So like 1 o'clock in the morning till four. I think it was my first night doing it. And I just made some kind of joke about, you know, London cab drivers thinking that, you know, they own the road, they just U-turn whenever they want and blah, blah, blah. But I was doing it sort of in jest. Anyway, the whole of the switchboard, and I will never forget this, the whole of the switchboard lit up, all 10 lines, just went straight away. And I was like, oh my God, what did I say? What did I do? So I sort of cautiously took a line and some guy bellowed down and said, is that Toby Anstey? How many got cab drivers? Get him off! I was like, oh my God, and I put the phone down, you know, just really sort of gently, and I went, oh my God. So I took another one. I thought, I'd take another one. It's like, oh, is that Toby Anstey? Ten of us thought I would go at cab drivers. So I learned very quickly, yeah, not to have a go at cab drivers. And I wasn't, you know, I love cab drivers. They're an institution and I take them, you know, on my travels. And but yeah, I learned quite quickly on a London radio station, never do that. That was quite a baptism of fire. But yeah, got through the 4 weeks and absolutely loved doing it.
And there was a change of PD, I think, wasn't there? And they said, well, we're not sure whether there's going to be anything for you.
Oh, yeah. No, Francis Curry came along. Great Francis Curry. Is one of the best people I've ever worked with. Got so much time for that guy. He's an absolute genius. But he came in and in the early days, you know, he took each presenter in when he first got, you know, given the job and to have a chat with them all, one-on-ones. And he said to me, he said, well, Toby, you know, nice to meet you, but I don't think there's anything here for you. I was like, oh, well, there you go. Well, I had a good 4 weeks on there. That was fun. And then a couple of weeks later, he called up and said, look, any chance you could fill in for somebody on a Saturday? And then I was like, God, yeah, this is brilliant. I can't have been that bad. They let me back. And then it was a Saturday and Sunday show. And then Chris Farrell, who was doing the afternoons then, brilliant Chris Farrell, and Dr. Glitz, who some people may remember him for, doing his disco nights at Clapham Grand. But he went off on his travels. He decided to take a sabbatical. I'm not sure if he really ever planned to come back, but I think he kind of quietly wanted to because he was a bit of a radio guy. But then when he was away, they gave me that show. And then I kind of kept it. And It's like, yeah, they would take a holiday, I think they say. But no, he Chris came back, but he was absolutely brilliant about it. He was absolutely cool. And I carried on doing the afternoon show on Heart. And then mid-mornings after that, did those for 17 years.
And these were early days of the Heart brand. Obviously, it was in Birmingham and it was in London, but that was it for quite a while.
Yeah, it was just on 106.2 in London and it was on its frequency in Birmingham. And that was it. And then...
Which is? Come on, Tubby, what's the frequency in Birmingham?
Oh, God, don't put me on the spot. Nobody talks in frequencies anymore. It's on DAB.
We'll go around the country later and ask you for some frequencies in Barnstable and other
places.
You
just look for Heart. Just search for Heart Midlands. It'll come up.
100.7.
That's the one. Yeah, there you go. And then, of course, Global bought Christmas and the Heart Network was... In fact, I remember very clearly because Richard Park and Ash and Stephen, they all came in to say hello to us and they were absolutely fantastic. And we felt all very loved and that we were going to go places with the radio station, as indeed we have. But I'd never met Richard Park before. I just knew he was the god of commercial radio. You know, he was there when Chris Tarrant was doing Capital Breakfast all those years. You know, he was the man, capital and commercial radio on the map. But I knew that he was quite a sort of frightening man. You know, people might say he's sort of feared and revered. And I kind of get that because he's a larger than life character, put it that way. And he asked to meet me. Could I go down to meet him after my mid-morning show on Heart? I was like, oh God, Richard Park wants to see me. So I went down there and he was going through his radar figures. Like, well, you know, will you beat your margarita? Say no more, you know, absolutely. I can do the worst impression of Richard Park. There are a lot of people that can do it a lot better. And he didn't really say anything. He was going, no, he beat Marguerite. That's a very good beating Radio 1, you know. It's a good set of figures. Great set of figures. And then he sort of blah, blah, blah. And then he kind of cut to the chase and said, well, you know, how do you fancy opening the batting for the Heart Network, Torbster? I had to ask him to clarify what he meant. I said, hang on, what's going on? He said, well, you know, the Heart's going to go out across the network and... you know, basically, would you like to do mid-mornings? I was like, oh my God, it's massive. And, you know, at the time, I was being offered breakfast on Smooth by John Simons at GMG. And I was actually thinking about leaving Heart because I wasn't getting on brilliantly well with the guy, Mark Browning, at the time. And I thought, you know, it might be time for change. But then Richard Park changed all that. So he was, instrumental in me doing that job because there was... And actually, in the end, we own Smooth anyway now, so... It's probably a good move that I stayed at Heart. And then from then on, this big Heart Network sort of grew. And I was lucky enough to be the first person to do a network show on that. And amazing times.
And the biggest show in commercial radio for a long time, until Jamie and Amanda came along and put breakfast across the network. But anyway.
Well, I don't know. Are there figures as far? Are they at what I got?
No. Yeah, Jamie and Amanda, they got massive figures. But I mean, we did get it to, I got it to 4.1 million at one point. And I think, yeah, because Richard said to me, you know, you've got the biggest show in Europe. It was, I think it was the biggest commercial radio show in Europe, not just the UK at that time. And yeah, but that's 4.1 million, which is ridiculous when you think about it. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of listeners. But yeah, very proud to have got it to that point.
And we talked about all the different frequencies across the country, which we won't test you on.
No, but, don't do that.
As you gradually added more and more stations, you were kind of the face of Heart rolling out in all these different areas of the country, weren't you?
Yeah, well, it was actually my idea that we... Because there were going to be all these new, you know, I hadn't met all the breakfast shows and I was suddenly, you know, I was going to be on after them all, that I should go and meet them all. So we went on a 25 or 26 station tour of the UK. So every day I'd done my show, me and Chitters, John Chittenden, who's our top PR guy here, we would go off on a train to wherever and we'd go and meet the breakfast show and have a good time, go out for lunch, you know, do a few interviews, do some PR and stuff and, you know, just say hello and, you know, here we are. And it's great to be part of the team. And but there was, we always tried to find something that I, some connection that I might have to a certain place to make me a little bit relevant, you know. And that's quite difficult when you're going from, you know, Manchester down to Devon into Kent into Cornwall. And I think Ashley will still laugh about that. He still jokes me about it and says, you know, God, so what's your connection to Dover? What's your connection to Northampton? Well, actually, I was born in Northampton, so we had a good one there. But it was a brilliant, brilliant, fun thing to go and do. And we met all these fab breakfast show guys and at the time. But yeah, it was. I think the standout one for me on that sort of PR tour was actually going to Cornwall, because they warned me before we went there that Cornwall might be a little bit tricky because they're very, you know, lovely people, but they're very protective of everything down there. And Atlantic was going to be rebranded as Heart. And I had an interview with
kind of one of the big sort of lifestyle-y sort of magazines down there. So I sat down with this woman to do the interview, and she said, you know, a little bit cautious, shall we say, to be diplomatic. And then she kind of came out with, so what do you know about Cornwall then? You know, in other words, what gives you the right to come and do a show in Cornwall? I said, well, have you heard of Thomas Anstice? And she went, no. Well, you need to look him up, because you should be scared, because Thomas Anstice was one of the most feared pirates in Cornwall in the 19th century or whatever it was. He was you know, causing pillage all over the county. And my dad, who'd done some genealogy, said, you know, that apparently we are distant relations to Thomas Anstice, who are related to this pirate, this feared pirate. And I tell you what, that soon pricked her ears up. That soon got her listening. That soon won her up. You know, don't mess with the pirates. And, you know, that was my, that they made quite a thing of that in the magazine. But we'd had a great tour, and I'm so pleased we did it, because it was nice then, because I could then pitch, you know, the breakfast shows that were on before me when I then would take over, you know, at 10 o'clock. But it was a lot of fun doing that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
So 20 years, a lot has changed from the studio you were in doing your first overnight show 20 years ago this week to where you are now. Obviously, you're in a different building. What do you think has been the biggest change at heart in that time, other than the kind of the rollout side of things, you know, in terms of how you do your job every day? What's changed most?
But the biggest change, I mean, I think just the sheer size of it is really where, I mean, you can't, it's the biggest commercial radio brand, and, you know, it still feels to me to be I still pinch myself that I'm on here. It's a huge thing and a massive honour to sit there. I think just now where we're at with the numbers of listeners, it's scarily big. You know, when I do a Club Classic show on a Friday night, you really notice that, you know, how much interaction there is, how many people are tuned in. You feel like sort of, oh my God, everyone's listening to Heart. That's when you really sense, you know, how big it's got. From those days, just from when it was on in London, you were talking locally, to them being this big sort of national brand. It still kind of delivers locally as well in its clever little way. I still get nervous going on, just as I did looking down a camera on BBC One. If you ever think too hard about that, you'd probably go mad. You'd probably lose your way. If I thought about how many millions of people are listening when I open the mic on Heart, if I really thought about that, I'd probably run a mile. But in another way, it's just I feel very blessed to still be doing it, and alongside Heart Dance as well, which is an absolute joy. You know what, Stuart, to be honest, I'm still as excited about radio as I was the first show I did on Heart 20 years ago. If anything, I'm even more excited, because I'm not as nervous, because I know how to do it a bit better. I know how to control it. I can, you know, I know how to do the show. I can hopefully make it run smoothly. And I'm still learning every day. I'm still trying to be better. I'm still trying to, you know, I still get annoyed if I just, you know, fluff one link or something. And I think, as long as I stick with that, and I think I know I will, I'll just keep enjoying it for another 20 years. They'll have to wheel me out of here, Stuart. I'm not leaving.
Talking of fluffing links, I hear you had a hairy moment once where you almost said the F word on the air, but just stopped yourself in time.
Oh, well, yeah, because the ceiling almost, well, it did it. The whole ceiling at Heart fell in on me, basically. And I was quite new, and I saw a tile above me going a little bit, and then literally I'm halfway through the link. Then everything just fell down on the desk, and that was about as close to drop the F-bomb as I ever will on Art, I can tell you. But it was, yeah, that was quite a scary moment. When somebody played it back to me, that don't try and find that link, by the way. It's not my greatest moment. But you know, when you're stuck with that, what do you say? I could get around it really well now, because I've got more confidence in doing it. But I think it was just like, I'm sorry if you just heard some bangs, but the roof just fell down on me. And anyway, here's whatever. Here's Luther. But that was quite scary. But the other one was... if you're talking about sort of daunting moments on the air, we had Prince Charles and Camilla come in. They were doing a media tour, and they wanted to come into Global and come and visit the stations and see what we do. And the timings kind of coincided with me being on the air as well. So I was the one that had the honour of hosting them in the Heart studio in front of the world's press, you know, Ashley, Stephen, Richard. First time I've ever done a link live in front of Richard, and believe me, that is a scary thing. Guys had like a live Snoop session, and with the Future King by me as well. Anyways, we had all that. I think on their itinerary, they were supposed to come in at, I think it was like 20 to 12, we were told. And so we had it all lined up that we could seg three, maybe four songs if we had to give me time just to be able to speak to them. But in the end, they were running a little bit late because I had a lot to do. So they arrived at about 30 seconds before I had to do the intro to the news at midday. And so I had like, they suddenly rocked up. Oh God, you know, I've got to do a live link in front. So I had Prince Charles and Camilla. I could literally feel Camilla's breath on my neck. She was that close. And then I had to introduce the news. And I even think that, I think the lead story might have been a royal news royal story as well. And I've got Prince Charles there, and I had to open the mic. And luckily, I just had to say, you know, this is hard. It's 12 o'clock. And then that was it. But I was really, I was literally shaking. My hands were kind of shaking over the faders when I did that. And you've got them sitting behind you, and then everybody in front of you as well. That was scary, but got through that. I don't think I'll get a knighthood anytime soon, but we got through it.
Have there been any other guests that kind of made you starstruck like that? I know you've had so many people in on the show over the years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the stars that have been around a long time that know the business, they know the game, they know what to do. They're the ones that are the most patient and happy to give you all the time in the world, you know, because they know what the deal is. And I think Lionel Richie, he came in once. He'd just done Glastonbury. Do you remember he smashed it in
the legend slot
on a Sunday? And he came in and, you know, I had all these kind of links and split links and things to record and everything else. And he came in and I've got a face with this like Motown legend, you know, Glastonbury legend. And I said, I'm so sorry, Lionel, but I've actually, because there was something I really, really had to do. I said, I'm so sorry I've got to do this. He said, oh, no problem at all. You know, well, I can't do an American accent.
That sounded a bit like Richard Park, that one.
Sorry. No, but
we just got one.
See, that's the thing. When you start doing Richard Parker, you can't get it out of your head. Say no more. Yeah. But anyway, so he just said, hey, dope, no problem. Just you get on with what you're to do. We'll just do the interview whenever. And I just, he was just incredibly charming and patient. It was brilliant. And then he got Robbie Williams. He just literally crashed in the show one time. He was just wandering around the building. I think he'd been on one of our other stations. And so he just walked. I've known him for yonks, you know, over the years would take that and stuff. So he just walked in like he was walking into his lounge and he sat down. And I think I had to say, oh, look who's popped in. Robbie Williams is here, everyone. So I just put him on. And then he started interviewing me. So he started saying, so Toby, you know, have you found a nice woman yet? It's about time, isn't it? You settled down. I mean, look, I have now. I mean, it's a brilliant thing. And hang on. I'm going to talk to you, Rob. You've just walked into the studio. I will interview you. But he ended up interviewing me for about 3 or 4 minutes. But he was, that was a surprise guest moment. And yeah, I mean, there's been, so many people that I've had the chance to interview. I mean, we've had David Guetta on Heart Dance just recently before he did a gig in Dubai. And that was like a bit of a moment for me because I've watched him, you know, play so many times in Ibiza and Pasha and places like that and love him as a DJ. And we play his records on Heart Dance, obviously. And to have him on was, I was a bit starstruck with it, even though it was on Zoom. But he wasn't there in the flesh, but it was still quite a big deal to have him on.
And what about the kind of quirkiest guest you've perhaps had in on Heart?
Right, I'll tell you straight away who that was. Lady Gaga. She was interesting. You know what it's like? You only get allocated a certain amount of time with these superstars. So I think I had 10 minutes with her. And for 9 of those minutes, probably, she spun round on the stool and she had this kind of veil across her face. And I don't know what she was trying to do, intimidate me or something, but she succeeded anyway. So I only really saw her face for a very short amount of time because she was spinning. She was doing 180s on this stool the whole time, partially covered up at the same time. So I didn't really ever get a connection with her. And I don't know what we got left with, about 20 seconds of stuff that we could use. She was obviously in quite a weird mood. So she was unequivocally the most quirky, bizarre guest I've ever interviewed. If you can call it an interview, because it wasn't really. It was an intermittent chat.
And not just a presenter, but a salesman too. You've got involved with the commercial side of things sometimes. How did that all start?
We'd never done anything with a film company at Heart. And so I'd been doing some gigs with Ian Morton, who was running sort of really high up at Odeon. Then he went over to 20th Century Fox. And I said, look, come on, we should do some film. Talk about some films, have some promotions on Heart. And so he said, well, that's not a bad idea. And so I arranged a lunch between him, me and Ali Page, who was like in the commercial side. and we did a promotion, and that was it. And we're still doing loads of stuff with them. And Stephen Myron is very, very aware of it, that I brought 20th Century Fox on board. I'm still waiting for the commission on that deal, by the way. No, but it was nice to be able to facilitate that, because I've always had, not just on the on-air side, but they've always let me get involved on the other side of things. You know, if there have been sponsors coming on board, I've loved going out for lunches and meeting people and helping nail deals and stuff like that when I've been allowed to. And because, you know, when you're a presenter, you can be a little bit cheeky. The salespeople do their thing, and then I can go in there and have a bit of a laugh. And it just helps sometimes. And I've done quite a lot of that off the air as well, which I still really enjoy getting my teeth into. But 20th Century Fox was a first one of those. Yeah.
Obviously, Heart Dance launched 2 years ago now. The figures that you had early on before the pandemic struck were pretty encouraging, and
yeah,
you could just tell listening to you on there that, you know, you're not playing Lionel and Luther anymore, but you're loving the music that you're playing.
Oh God, well, this was the thing that, you know, for me, dance music has been everything. You know, that's when I, way back when I did sort of work experience at Radio London with Dave Pearce, you know, I absolutely loved it then, and I still do. So, you know, when Ashley sort of said, look, we want to launch this dance station, Hard Dance, would you be up for it? And I was like, yeah, hell yeah. It's one of the most exciting things in my career to launch, you know, a new national radio station and one that plays the music that I love. You know, to get up and do a job that you love every morning, and it is early, you're getting up at 5:30. So you've got to love what you do to make it good. And so it's an absolute pleasure to come in and bash out those tunes. And, you know, the reaction we're getting is really good. And I think during lockdown as well, when radio was really important to people, it really sort of grew. And, you know, yeah, digital figures looking great for the Heart brand as a whole. But I think, yeah, this station has got so much we're going to do with it. It's very, very exciting, which I can't talk about all of it now. But I think now everything's coming back. Yeah, it's a brilliant place to be. I'm very sort of lucky to be doing the breakfast show on here and Club Classics, yeah.
Obviously, not been able to get out doing as many gigs.
No, we didn't get to Ibiza, but we will. Gigs are coming back, which is great. So, yeah, I'm back on doing. I've done a couple of race courses, did Ascot and Sandown Park. We took the Heart Dance anthems out to... I can't say it. I was about to blurt that one out. But, yeah, we've got various gigs coming up. And then I think it's something I think we'd love to go to Ibiza next year. Maybe some other places, and do Pride again as well, which was great doing Brighton a couple of years ago, and we've got our bus now, we can go out on that. So I think, yeah, we've got a lot we're going to do with this little old radio station of ours, Heart Dance. I think it's going to be good. And yeah, the listening, all the stats are very, very encouraging. So onward and upward with it.
And through the pandemic, you've still been going into Leicester Square most of the time, have you? Or you've managed to do some shows from home or any of those luxuries?
Yeah, no, I did about 5 weeks at home and then was allowed back in. I mean, it's incredible that you could actually do a show on a laptop, essentially through a through a browser and a mic, and actually do a national show. I mean, it's incredible to learn that.
That's what's changed from 20 years ago, isn't it? That's the main thing.
Oh, well, that is a big one. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, smart speakers are another one as well. And obviously a lot of people during the pandemic bought them and, you know, and are playing Play Heart Dance, Play Heart, whatever, you know, and they, that's been obviously a really, really big thing. I think, you know, the platforms you listen on, but yeah, Heart Dance during the pandemic, I did 5 weeks home, then I came back in. So luckily for me, I've had structure. You know, I've been able to get up and go to work, get on the tube, you know, and no one else on the tube, but I was probably the only person in London, and then, you know, and do the show and then go home. So that's been really good for my sanity and hopefully keeping everybody entertained, you know, doing it as well. I mean, there's nothing better than being, you know, in a proper studio to do it. I mean, doing it from home is great, but I couldn't wait to get back here, to be honest.
And you were like really poorly at the start of it all, weren't you? Like really, really poorly.
Yeah, well, I got it before anyone really knew about COVID. It, you know, it was end of February last year I got it really, really badly. I was stuck in bed for 7 days and I never really get ill, and the doctor said you've got mild pneumonia. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound too good. Actually, I think it wasn't mild, it was full on. And I got over that, and then 8 weeks later I got it again. So I mean, there were no tests even then. At the end, in March when I got it, you know, 8 weeks afterwards, there were no I got an antibody test, you know, months later, you know, or a couple of months later, and they said, yeah, you'd had it. But, yeah, no, had it, over it, fully fit, fully vaxxed, all good to go, Stu. Yeah, but it wasn't nice.
Good to hear. We're glad you fully recovered. And I saw in the summer you put a picture on your Insta of you on stage at a Radio 1 roadshow. I'm presuming that was, like, through the Ozone and the TV stuff you did, because you never actually worked at Radio 1, did you?
No, I didn't work at Radio 1. Although, funny enough, I remember around 1995, I can't remember who was the controller. I think Paul Robinson was coming into Radio 1 then. Lovely guy, Paul, because then he went to work at Disney and I did a couple of awards things for him. But this rumour came back to me. Everybody started telling me one day that I was going to be on Radio 1. And I knew nothing about that. I don't think my manager did. But obviously there was some chit-chat going on there. And maybe they just thought, oh, you know, seen me on the Ozone or something, or doing something on Live and Kicking, and thought, oh, you know, what about Toby? And that was a really big... And I was being told by all these record pluggers, oh, God, we're going to be on Radio 1. I knew nothing. I was excited, but thinking, well, I don't know about it.
First radio gig after Hospital Radio. Oh, it's Radio 1.
Radio 1, yeah. And, you know, that would have made sense at the time, because I was doing smash hits and all these sorts of things. And, you know, to profile for Radio 1, that would have been a good brand fit. But it never actually came off. And I was quite gutted, because, you know, it really sounds like they were after. It may be that, I don't know, maybe somebody at the television jumped in and said, no, he works 5 days for us on the, you know, on the. I doubt that. I don't know. Or maybe somebody at Radio 1 decided, no, actually, no, it's not quite right at the moment. So I missed out. But we did do, yeah, that time that I was on Radio 1, I was on stage in Southsea, that's right. We were filming down there. I can't remember, was it All Saints, was it? Or someone like that. Anyway, they were performing. So I ended up on stage on Radio 1. Doing that, and they were saying, oh, Toby's here filming for the Ozone, which was mental. So that my time doing the one time I did the Radio Road Show. And then that day, we then had to fly from Southampton up to Manchester, because it was the day after Robbie had left Take That, and that was a big newsworthy story, you know. And so I'd gone straight from Radio 1, then flew up to interview Take That, you know, the day after Robbie. They went from being a five-piece to a four-piece. But yeah, so that was my big Radio 1 moment. That roadshow. I did actually get to say, hello, Southsea.
I was talking to a friend of mine who works in radio the other day, and he said, if you're going to be talking to Toby, can you please ask him, what's the best dance track for a Crunch and Roll link?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was quite happy with... we did a call with someone who was on a road trip the other Friday on Club Classics, and I rolled that in at a link over Armin van Helden, You Don't Know Me, which is a beautiful one, because it's got about 48 seconds. And it's building and building and building. And then when you just hit the first bit of it, and it did sound good. I got that one right. And so I would say, yeah, if you're looking for do a nice bit of content over a dance tune, you've got 48 beautiful seconds of Armin van Helden on You Don't Know Me. So that one comes highly recommended.
The other thing I just wanted to mention as well is obviously the building you're in now compared to where you were 20 years ago. It was just Heart 106.2. Mm. Now you've got all those massive radio brands, national shows coming out of there, celebs walking in and out for shows and popping into different stations, but also the number of radio people in there. Are you starstruck ever by the radio people that you see in Leicester Square?
I mean...
Because I think a lot of people are probably going, oh, look, there's Toby Anstis over there.
Yeah, no, I don't know
Which
if they do
the
that.
Same building as Toby Anstis.
You know, I still, you know, when I see Johnny Vaughan around, I mean, he is for me, the funniest person on the radio, and that's that. You know, he is always been somebody that I've thought is just brilliant. He's a crazy man, but he's absolutely on top of his game. I absolutely love listening to him. He's a proper bellyache laughs you get. And when I see him, you know, he's a little bit like, oh, Johnny, you know, like, yeah. I think he thinks I'm a bit of a stalker. But I know he's Johnny Vaughan. I mean, you see, you know, Amanda Holden, I see, you know, she's lovely. Ashley Roberts, you know, I see a pussycat doll. Every day. We arrive in the building at about the same time. And, of course, the nicest looking one is one of them. And the best one. She's the best pussycat doll, even though she's on the same time I am. But I get to see her, and, yeah, she's fat. What a lovely bunch of people we do have. You know, and then there's, you know, God, who else is there? Well, there are people like Mylene Klassen, who I see. Well, we did the jungle together, and so she kept me sane in there, to be fair. So she's really cool. So there are lots of people. It's one big happy family in this building, and everyone just has a laugh. And when you think about it, of the brands that are in this, but, you know, they are, you know, Capital and Heart and Smooth and Radio X, they're all absolutely on fire. I don't think anyone could be happier, really.
Well, congratulations on your 20 years at Heart, and a big milestone birthday that you've had in the last year as well since we last spoke.
Yeah, so. I know. I hate being 40. I'll tell you what 20 years really brought home to me, actually, because I've got this brilliant new producer called Jacob, who is actually a graduate from the Global Academy, and he's come through, and he produces Club Classics on a Friday night. He said to me the other day, he said, so you started Heart when? I said, 2001. He said, yeah, I was born. Oh, God, that really brought it home. I said, Jacob, really, that's it, mate. Come on. That's the end of a beautiful relationship. No, but there he is. And, you know, and then, you know, he's just starting his career, and I'm still getting away with mine. Yeah, 20 years on. But I'm you know, I look back at it so fun. It's been an incredible 20 years. I'm lucky to still be doing it. And, yeah, these guys at Global have really sort of
made it for me. I've loved every minute of it and had all the support from, you know, Richard and Ash, all those people who've kept me here. And yeah, thank you to them. I'm still here.
And here's to the next 20.
Do you reckon? 20 more years on heart. Do you reckon they'll let me?
Well, no, you might make it onto Smooth Breakfast by then.
No, I'll turn that down once.
Good to catch up with you, Toby. Thank you for chatting to Radio Today.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks to Toby, and I hope you enjoyed listening just as much as I enjoyed chatting to him. Now, just before we go this time, a reminder about Clean Feed. Worth giving it a go if you are planning that Christmas OB already. I know, it's got to that time of year, hasn't it? Maybe you are going to Santa's Grotto and need a way to hook up back to base. Well, Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters too, so if you do one of those, it could come in handy there. It's really simple to connect in live, decent quality audio over the web, and you can record within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started, just 30 seconds or so to get signed up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview, OB or recording. Find out more at cleanfeed.net. And that's it for this edition. We'll see you soon.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.